in, gosh, I think it was 2007, maybe 2008. It was right as the whole, my first book came out and all that kind of stuff. And it was about the time Alex and I started working together. Alex is my music director at the old church up on Berry Road, the Unity Church. And I noticed something, because I would always take Mondays off to work on my talk. And the secretary told me to take Mondays off. The church secretary, who'd been there for 20 years, she said, take Mondays off. And I said, why? She says, nobody ever comes in on Mondays. And I said, okay. She said, when do they come in? She said, the end of the week, Thursday and Friday. You'll see. And she was right. So I took Monday, I wrote my talk. Tuesday, I would go, but I would have my staff meetings. I would meet with chaplains. I would meet with people, make plans if somebody needed to, you know, talk to me. By Wednesday afternoon, people would start calling saying, I've got this issue. Can I talk to you? I've got this problem. Can I come talk to you? By Thursday, people would just be showing up to talk to me. And by Friday, I sometimes thought I wasn't going to get home for the weekend to start over again. So I started thinking about this, and I started talking to other ministers, and what I found is this is universal. That what happens is a lot of people will go to church on a Sunday and they'll get all fired up and ready to go for life and, you know, the music and everything and God is with me on my side and everything. And then by Tuesday, it's like, God, we're not enough. And everybody sort of freaks out. And so I had this idea because I wanted people to sort of feel this connection with God spiritually. And by God, I mean however you choose to define God. Because honestly, I haven't figured God out yet. How in the world would I be up here telling you which God to believe in? But for whatever God is for you, if you having that connection on a daily basis is what makes us feel better, is makes us feel happier. It makes us feel like we can accomplish things, like we're okay. So I had this outlandish idea looking back, and that was, I said, well, what if God could send everybody an email? And I had the church's email list. And so just on a lark, I think it was a Tuesday morning, I just said, to you. It was like a memo I was typing. And then I started writing. And I realized I wanted it short. I wanted it impactful. And then I also realized it's not coming from me. Because I'm going to sign it from God. And I actually went and got God@gmail.com, and I started sending the emails out from God@gmail.com. Now the interesting thing was, with all the politics that goes on at any church and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I was always so tempted to let God tell them how to work it out. But I decided not to do that. So I started writing these emails, and I sent them out one day. I started sending them out daily to the church email list. And people started going, what is this? Where did this come from? A lot of people knocked it out as spam. A lot of people said they didn't want to receive it. That was fine. I just kept doing it. And then people started sharing them. And we set up a constant contact list, and people started sharing them and sharing them and sharing them. And I remember one day, Sam Cross, who's 90, just turned 90. I guess he would have been about 84. He was on our board. He came in, and I could hear him talking to the secretary. And he said, what book are these God things coming from? And Marcia, the secretary, said, hold on. So she buzzes me on the intercom. Now, mind you, I can hear the whole thing in the next room. And she said, she told me, and she said, what do I say? I said, tell Sam God writes them. She said, no, seriously. And I said, no, seriously. Because see, what I didn't want was I didn't want people hearing Will's voice in their head when they read them. And that's natural. That's understandable, you know? So I wanted people to just suspend belief, and even if they weren't brilliant, as if God really was writing them. What if God was just saying, I love you. You're okay. It's going to work out. Everything's going to be all right. So Marcia tells Sam this. And I could hear Sam go, "Well, that's too bad. I wanted to buy a copy of that book for every one of my grandkids." And I thought, that's an idea. So I pitched it to my publisher at Random House 6 years ago, and he said, "Nah, I don't think so." And I just kept writing them, and I kept writing them. And it was funny because there hit a point, and I've shared with you before, it hit a point where the emails people didn't continue to share, where it just sort of hovered around 1,300 people, something like that. And I was like, well, why am I doing these? I'm not getting paid to do this. It's not growing my ego, you know? Can you relate? My ego mind is going, why are you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. And I finally said, why am I doing this? And what I realized was that a lot of the times what I was writing was what I wanted God to say to me, what I hoped the most loving, beneficent, giving God would say to me, because I wrote these for almost 8 years. And a lot of times it would be from people saying to me, I'm having this issue, and I would be like, because it's amazing when you're a minister in a church, you'll get somebody who'll come in with this problem, then somebody else who will come in with the same problem, and somebody else who will come in with the exact same problem, and by God, it's the problem you've been facing all day. It's amazing how that works. And then there came a point where it just felt like they were kind of writing me, when I couldn't wait to see what was going to be said. So, I really felt about 18 months ago that I was ready to distribute these as a book. I really felt that they were good and ready for that. But I've been writing for 8 years, and so somebody had to sit down and figure out which 365 out of, what would that be, 2,500 to use. And so I hired an editor who really knows my work, who understands me, who gets my purpose, and who doesn't pull any punches. That was, at the time, my 16-year-old daughter, Leah. My publisher probably still to this day doesn't know that the selections editor was my 16-year-old daughter. But it was interesting because once I released this whole thing, that's when it started to get beautiful. Because Leah picked the actual writings in the book. I didn't pick them. And then it was turned over to an editor. And if you become a writer and you start getting stuff edited, the first time it comes back, it should kind of be like being adjusted in a yoga pose. You're like, oh, thank you, that's so much better. But your ego goes, how dare you change the writing up, you know. And that, of course, is when you're your worst writer, when you're first getting started. Well, now I realize my editors can teach me so much and know so much. So three different editors have worked on this book. So Marty's been reading. This is an advanced reader copy of my new book, To You Love God. Advanced reader copy means unedited manuscript. My publisher made 30 of these for a promotion. So that's what those are for. So I decided, because so many people have been talking about it, and I hope you all like this, we're doing a promotion where we ask people to tell us what their birthday is on my Daily Jumpstarts, my videos. And what I thought we would do is we'd have about 30 people enter. Well, we had 600 people enter, tell us their birthdays. So I just picked 30 birthdays out of the hat and told my assistant, whichever one comes closest. And actually what's amazing is we actually had somebody from the studio win one of the books, and it was just amazing. So we're sending out these advanced reader copies of To You Love God, but we ask people to tell us their birthday, and now in my Daily Jumpstarts, I go to their birthday in the book because it's 365 and I read them out. So, yesterday. This is the actual book. This is not an advanced reader copy. This is To You Love God. I think this is the most beautiful book. This is my sixth book. I think it's the most beautiful book. The cover just knocks me out. Because what do you see from a distance? Love. And that's what we want to see, is love. So, after 20 years of speaking in churches of various kinds, I'm going to do something this morning I've never done. I have no preparation. I'm going to ask somebody to tell me their birthday. And then I'm going to read the two you love God from that day. And then I'm going to share, because as I look at this, and I really like the selections Leah made, I would say this is the best stuff I've learned as a spiritual person over the last 20 years. That's what this book is. So, Mary, what's your birthday? September 13th. Sorry, I was just, for some reason, guided to ask Mary. So from September 13th. Now, each month has a theme. And the theme from September is cultivate. Leah came up with most of the themes, too, by the way. To you. Choice. You get to choose where you live, whom you will be with, what career path you will follow, how you will spend your leisure time, what you will eat, and so many, many things. However, the real power of choice comes in choosing how you will respond to the choices others make. When people choose to do things that are not what you want them to do, you can choose to get angry, choose to take their action as a personal slight, or choose any number of personal of responses that leave you feeling separate and unhappy. Or you can embrace their choices as just that, their choices. In choosing to accept others' choices, you come to know your oneness with all and dwell in peace. This day, choose to accept other people's choices. Love God. Thanks, Bill. I've got more, so you don't need to applaud, but thank you. That's very sweet of you. I got an email the other day from a very good friend. She's been a friend for about a decade, and I think she's in her early 60s, and her brother is unfortunately an alcoholic, and she doesn't know how to live with his choices because it hurts to watch him be that way. She will go and see him sometimes, and he will have not bathed in weeks. His teeth are rotting. It's really terrible. And she emails me and she says, "What can I do?" And I said, "You can accept his choices." And she emails me and says, "What else can I do?" And I said, "Read email number one." We all talk about love is all you need. Love is love, 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 love. The definition of love is looking for the good and unconditional acceptance. That's the definition of love. People say, "Oh, they didn't get unconditional love." Well, only unconditional love is love. All love is unconditional. And so what we want to do is accept that other people are going to make choices. And the interesting thing is, when they make their choices and we fight their choices, what do? Not a rhetorical question. They cling even more to the choices they've made. Wouldn't you agree? Marty will tell you the best way to get me to do anything is to tell me not to do it. It's true, and I'm like most people. If we can love a person, especially as a parent, we get a lot of practice at this. Whatever choice they make, then they feel empowered to make higher and better choices in the future. And that goes not only with children, but it goes with employees, it goes with friends, sisters, whatever. Somebody else tell me their birthday or someone in their family or any important day in their life. Yeah. Wait, I got one here. I'll come back to you. Yeah. June 21st, is that first day of summer? I'll tell you what the hard part of this was, too, that Leah did so great, was not only selecting these, but they could have all gone under multiple categories. And I think she did a pretty good job. The category for summer is transform. June 1st. You said June 1st? 21st. Well, it's still transform. I'm just on the wrong day. Here we go. A decision to see your life as a glass half full as opposed to a glass half empty will shift your perspective, bringing you greater joy. The truth, however, is far grander than that. If you were to sit and write down everything going well in your life, everything, and then sit and write out everything not going as you would like, you would discover that your life is actually a glass 97% full. Ah, but what about the remaining 3%? It is here that you are growing. This is the space in which your life is shifting. This 3% is where you are expanding your capacity for things to become even better, and with this increased capacity, you can invoke and embrace more and more goodness. This day, realize that seeing your life as a glass half full is a good start, but falls far short of the actual truth. You are immersed in goodness. Love, God. I remember writing this one. When we were sort of merging our families together, and I was living in an apartment, and Marty was living with Star half the time, and stuff like that, I remember getting up one morning, and I hadn't seen Marty in a couple of days, you know, and I was like bummed. And then I got an email that wasn't good, and I got a text that wasn't good, and I sat on the couch, and I just decided life sucked. You know, I mean, that was it. There was no point. Life just sucked. You're laughing because you do the same thing, right? So here's what I did. And this is one of the things I really believe we should always do, is the opposite of what we feel like doing. I got my journal, because the last thing I wanted to do was write in my journal. And I wrote out, I went first. I said, okay, angry ego, everything that's wrong, everything that's going wrong in my life. I think one of them was I had called Alex the day before and he hadn't called me back, which is just because Alex is like this. And I'm like, that's how petty. But do you see how petty when we're looking to just add on? So I made this list of everything, including Marty not being there and Alex not calling me back. Exactly. Life sucks. You know how many things I came up with? And I gave myself free rein. I remember this. 9 things. So then I was like, okay, you got to write the other side. And I'm like, no, I want to waddle in the 9 things, you know? I really do. But then I went, no, on second thought, okay. And I started writing out the things that were going good. 40 minutes later, I was still writing. And I stopped and I wrote the two you love God. And I went, wow. It's so easy for us to focus on all the negatives, you know? When my books get... the first review that came out for my book, Happy This Year, was from a Vine reporter. That's a person who gets an advance copy way before anybody else is. And you want these people because they carry a lot of sway. He basically said, if you think life sucks, read Will's book. I mean, it's really bad. Happy This Year is a terrible book. And he goes on and on and on. And that was the only review that came out for like 3 weeks. Before the book came out. Well, look at it now. It's got like 300 reviews and it's like 99% great. But it was that first one. And even if it hadn't been, which one probably would my ego wanted me to remember? The bad one. The thing is, if I was to summarize spirituality, that you know, a spiritual master is a person who learns to master their own spirit. And that's a day by day process. Stuff comes up every day. Something reminds us every day that it's good. Something helps us. We contextualize it. We look back and we realize we'd had a great life if we had just realized it while we were going along. And that's kind of the point. Leah's going to be out in the lobby after taking orders for advanced copies. I'll be able to actually get these and have them autographed for you if you want them a week before they actually go on sale, but I can only get a limited number. And several people said they want to get a case, which is 12, which is cool. And if you do, I actually have a copy of this I'll give you. I'm not trying to sell books. I've just had so many people say. Let's do one more. Yes, Joyce. You forgot your birthday. Is this your birthday or whose is it?
It is my birthday.
It is your birthday. Okay, February 21st? Look at all these 21st we got. Leah's birthday is March 21st. Oh, and the other thing is, too, if you get these on the daily basis, about 20% of these writings are brand new, just for the book. I wrote a lot of new stuff. Huh. Okay, this is interesting. I remember somebody came to me for counseling, and I thought, they're not getting it when I say it. Maybe if they read God tomorrow, they'll get it. So, and this is a hard thing to remember. To you. And I don't think this applies to you, Joyce. Hold, you'll see why. Hold out for the real thing. If you are not currently in a committed relationship, commit to share yourself only with someone who loves you as I love you. That is, someone who loves you for all that you are, your many wonderful attributes as well as your endearing quirks. Someone who sees beyond your humanity to the sacred and does not strive to change you is a person who truly loves you. If you are currently in a committed relationship and do not feel you are experiencing this kind of love, the best way to call it forth is to begin to feel this kind of love for yourself. Beneath your faults and shortcomings is perfection. A person is like a piece of furniture created by a master craftsman. Previous scratches and dings do not change the quality or the value of the creation. In fact, over time, it becomes a valuable antique. Commit to nothing less than a relationship where you are loved as I love you. Begin now to find it by first loving yourself completely, absolutely, and unreservedly. Love God. Yeah, that. So many people, how can I get somebody to love me? Probably you can't until you start. Because anyone who's going to show up is just going to reflect back that you don't love you. Love you first. So, this was fun. I hope you all enjoyed it. We're going to close with prayer. Join hands with people around you. And let us remind ourselves that there is only one divine mind and one presence flowing in and through each and every one of us in the hands that we hold. And we give thanks for the perfection of this day and this opportunity to come together in sacred celebration. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.